estate services, Lavazzi and Boob1.co.uk present the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who Podcast, episode 399. I'm Adam and I legitimately don't need a quote this week. And here's Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Woo-wee-oo!
Debbie Melrose. And Mary Lang.
Talking to you from the snowy depths of southwest Ohio.
Something interesting. Yes, here we are. We're going to do our little review. What we traditionally do, anybody who's joined the show late, that's very late, we've done 399 episodes, is at the end of a series we do our sort of chart, if you like, of the episode. So from worst to best in reverse order, and then we try and glean what we sort of think is the best episode as a group. So if we decide it's the best episode, that means of course it is indeed the best episode. Likewise, if we decide it's the worst episode, it is indeed the worst episode. Lillian Robinson, ooh wee you. And I've got an appropriate sound effect for that, Lillian. There we go. So yes, what we're going to do today. Who's got a pen and paper on them?
Why would I have a pen and paper?
Debbie, you're quite clever at that sort of stuff, aren't you?
Yes, I'm sat at my desk with a pen and paper
right.
ready.
Oh, so your job, Debbie... Shush a minute, Kirby. Your job, Debbie, is to actually make a note of what we all say, and then we'll work it out from your notes.
Master.
Oh, what now?
I have a spreadsheet already up with my rank on it. I can simply add everyone else.
All right, we'll do that then, Kirby. Sorry,
yeah,
Debbie.
Yeah, we'll do that then. Modern technology rather than...
Yes, right I then. Mean, but paper is so...
Last year.
I'll be quiet.
Yes, okay, so
it's the original iPad.
I have now added... I've now added three more columns, one Adam, Debbie, and Mary.
Yeah, as I was saying, it's the original iPad because it's interactive and it's a pad, so it's the original iPad. I nearly got confused with my keyboards then and pressed quit on the laptop, which is running the YouTube link. That would have been awkward. See, multitasking can be a bit... Ooh, my connection is unstable. Oh, that sounds a bit worrying. Oh, it's back again. I could be able to say, Isabella's obviously playing Fortnite upstairs and using all the bandwidth. And we've also got you guys online as well, so it's a bit risky. So if that keeps coming up, I'm going to have to turn off, log her out, shall we say, if I've got the power to log her out on the PlayStation.
You meanie.
More important things to do. So, yes, Series 11. Now, where's my little notepad? It's called Pages on the back, and it's a rubbish program for doing word processing because you can't save as. You have to, I found, because I ended up overwriting all my contract files with the wedding stuff. Very annoying. Right then, here we go. So, are we ready with our top 11s in reverse order?
Yes.
Good, right. Yeah.
Right. It was a bit difficult.
My number 11, what do you mean it was a bit difficult? Are you being sarcastic?
No.
My number 11 was Arachnids in the UK.
Snap.
Yep.
Hey, well, that's a difficult. That we don't even have to do a count. That is the worst episode of the series. It could be the worst episode for quite a long time. Okay.
It was a one I've seen on Facebook, and that I think others would agree.
The frustrating thing about Arachnids in the UK was the fact that it had a fairly good cast in it and a bit of stunt casting in regards to
it. It could have been so much better than it was as well. That's the thing. Spiders are scary, and you know.
Mm-hmm.
So much better.
And the pathetic political undertones were totally inappropriate for a...
Exactly.
Yes.
Well. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And the effects, though. I mean, the spiders were fantastic.
Yes. Yeah, they were, but it just was wrong. You don't need... There's enough commentary in politics at the moment. We don't need Doctor Who chiming in with its...
So if they bring out another episode next time and it's got a Brexit subject, that'll be it. I won't be watching it full stop. I don't care. It's taking things a little bit too far. So, yes. Hopefully Brexit will be over by the time we have another series.
Sorry, my cat won't leave me alone if you can hear a loud...
I wonder if anybody's called their cat Brexit. I've got a very unstable connection. which is worrying me. Which means, of course, I've got to go up to... hang on just a minute.
You know, there's a group that looks after kids who have to stop playing Fortnite because apparently it's so addictive that they have to provide counselling for people. Well,
she might need some counselling in a minute.
It says, wow.
Alexa, drop in on Isabella's room.
Please unlock your device.
Isabella?
Yes?
You're using up all the bandwidth. It's impacting on the podcast.
Okay, sorry.
So can you stop using the bandwidth, as in stop playing Fortnite for a bit, please?
Wait, what?
You're using up my bandwidth.
Wait, I have to stop playing Fortnite.
That's the correct answer, yes.
Alexa, stop.
There we go.
Bring her first.
Sorry, Deb's just saying, is it her having Netflix on? It is,
what,
technically.
What a nice teenager. Wow.
Okay. We're just having problems. Right there. It's nearly finished. She's watching some program.
I probably expected her to kind of snarl at you and say, nah.
Deb's having, she's watching a program on Netflix, a series starring Jane Fonda that she's loving very much. Oh, so it's nice that Deb's got something on Netflix that she loves. It's good. Apart from The Crown, obviously, which is... Anyway, let's see what people are saying. Lillian Robin says, you frozen. I know. And it's frozen again. Yes. Alan T. Butcher, like Ice Warrior. Yes. This is supposed to be a fast internet connection. I might be having words with white fibre at this rate. Anyway, your connection is unstable. Please wait while we reconnect. I'm paying, not really, YouTube for this particular connection. At least you guys can hear me, eh?
Yeah.
At least the microphone can hear me. So it's not all
disastrous. I know I'm repeating myself here, but what I found interesting is when I had a really good conversation with Simon Fisher Becker and now I can't think of the other guy, the one who's also in, I can't even think of the name of the show that they're in as well. Oh, Doc Martin.
Martin Clunes?
No. plays Burt Large in... I can't think of his name, but he also is known for playing Churchill. Anyway, when I was having a conversation with them in Chicago and we talked about arachnids, they were completely surprised when I brought up that this was like anti-political. They didn't get that at all. They hated it for other reasons, but they didn't see at all that it was, anti-political.
But did they say it was any good?
Mm-mm. Mm. No, they disliked it. A lot, but for different reasons.
Okay. Right, sorry, we got slightly sidetracked by issues, and there's obviously we've got two viewers waiting for the video stream to start back up again.
Why I thought I could talk about that, because we're waiting.
Yeah, I'm just seeing, I'll check on my other YouTube monitor. Oh, shit, I nearly swore then. That's the wrong one. Let's have a look on here. This is great. There's live technical stuff going on here. So if I go to the 20 megabyte page... And if I click on that and then go to the 20, where's it gone? There it is. And if I then click on the YouTube link, and
we all agreed that arachnids in the UK was the worst one.
Yes, we already did that, but we're just I've now clicked on Adam's bugbears by mistake. Good grief. Right. Where's the live feed? No, it's not even there. Oh, it is. There it is. Right.
Maybe we should just go back to recording like normal.
What, you mean not doing a live thing?
Yeah.
We can't do that.
We seem to have problems every time.
No, we don't. Not every time. Yeah. Yeah, it's certainly a bandwidth issue. It's just not loading. We're having words with white fibre at this rate. But anyway, back to the episode. Oh, God's sake. Oh, but anyway, back to the episode. Hey, we're back. I think that's part. That's finally caught up with the we stopped again, and I knocked my microphone. Right, number 10. Yes, we're still trying to do a review.
Yay!
There's always something that gets in the way. Number 10, The Witch Finders for me. Oh, you've all gone to sleep. Oh.
No, I went for the Saranga Conundrum.
No, oh, dear.
Okay. And I put Demons of the Punjab as my number 10.
So we have a difference of opinion then. The reason I did...
Wow.
What?
Wow.
Yeah. The reason why I put down The Witchfinders, I was looking at the other ones, and I did it in a way that, right, Witchfinders, did I enjoy Arachnids in the UK better or worse than Witchfinders? That was easy. did I enjoy a Ghost Monument? So I decided that by way of elimination, that all I enjoyed all the other ones a little bit more than I did the Witchfinders. The only things, I mean, I quite enjoyed the series, to be fair, so it's difficult finding things that you didn't enjoy about it. But the Witchfinders, it was just, for me, lacked a bit of historical details. It's supposed to be historical, but they lacked a bit of fact from the historical side of the thing. I know it's not that much of a big deal because it is a science fiction fantasy TV series, but I feel if they're going to go down the historical route, it's probably a good idea to get as much of it right as possible. But I did enjoy Alan Cumming, who is in... Has anybody seen the magnificent movie Battle of the Sexes?
No.
It's about Billie Jean King's tennis match with some male chauvinist pig bloke. Fantastic film, and Alan Cumming's in that.
Oh, I had no idea.
It was Alan Cumming's performance that ranked that episode way much higher in mine alone, because the rest of it wasn't that great.
I was going to say, you can't believe...
Yeah, mine's... I've got it pretty high up as well because of his performance.
Yeah,
and it doesn't matter about the historical inaccuracies. Guess what? They didn't have prison underneath historically, there's no alien prison underneath a tree.
Please understand that just because I rate it as my second worst one of the series doesn't mean I didn't really like it that much. I just liked it less than the rest of the series. And yes, if you take Alan Cumming out of it, then yeah, it wouldn't be as good, anywhere near as good, because he was a major factor of enjoying the story. But it was okay.
Yeah. Well, I picked Demons of the Punjab because I felt like the whole thing was very contrived. It didn't seem to move along very well. And then there was, that infusion of an unnecessary, alien force.
Mm-hmm.
So,
Because mine's way up there for that one.
Yeah, I've got that. But that's the thing. We're all different, and we all like different parts of the program. That's what makes us so different.
And I liked pieces of, even though my number 10 is Saranga Conundrum, I liked parts of it.
Oh, yeah. No, some of it was fun. But I did it the same way Adam did. I was like, well, what did I enjoy most about it?
Yep.
And it was a toss-up between that one and my next one. So, it was...
Yeah, a lot of these are, could exchange places easily.
So what we could do, who's doing the spreadsheet, is give each episode a point system. So at the bottom, each episode, the episodes in question will get a 1 point for that, for finishing the bottom, and then 2 points and 3 points, so forth. And then you can add the points up to each individual episode, and we'll get a winner, won't we? Sometimes it might be a bit obvious.
That's what we did the last time.
Kirby's going to do that, aren't you, Kirby?
I'm not going to. Right now, I'm just going to keep track of the numbers for each of us.
Yeah, but you're going to do that in the end, though, aren't you? You're going to do that in the end, though, aren't you, Kirby?
I didn't quite understand what you
were going to do. But
we're going to do it on a point system. So if it gets a bit tight as to which one is which.
Well, what I will do is I will post.
Be doing it as we go along.
Yeah. I'll post the. Oh, I see what you're saying.
Hey.
I'll figure it out later, but I will post the results of this when we're done.
Oh, I was hoping we'd do it on the show. Never mind. Alan C. Butcher says the streaming is a bit grim. Are you saying Alan Cumming to the Isle of Wight was good? Yes, yes, Alan. Alan Butcher coming to the Isle of Wight was good.
Yeah, he was great.
It should be right now because Deb stopped watching her Jane Fonda series. It's also got Martin Sheen in it. Is it Martin Sheen?
Love Martin Sheen.
It's very apparently very good. She loves it. And Isabella stopped playing Fortnite. So hopefully that's freed up the bandwidth for the rest of the show. Woohoo! Okay, so that's Witchfinders was my number 10. Anybody not spoken about their reasons for the number 10s before we move on to number 9?
I think we're done.
Hooray. I've eventually got an answer. Right then, number 9 for me. Who's fiddling and is going to get a point deducted?
Not me.
All right, kind of...
The cats keep messing around.
They're cats. So a point deducted for the cats then.
Number 9.
Yeah, that's a Beatles song. I'll confirm that as a question. Right then, number 9 for me, the Ghost Monument. There was a part of the Ghost Monument which I enjoyed quite a lot. The part of the Ghost Monument was the obviously they're running down this thing, the spaceship behind them, and instead of running to the side, they sort of carry on running ahead, which was a bit silly.
Yeah.
I love the scene where they did a continuous scene, didn't they, at the beginning in the spaceship with no break. It was
yes, that was a good scene.
Really, really cool.
Yeah,
quite unique. And it was fairly obvious the TARDIS was the monument, and it was, you know, some parts of that, you know, that's why it wasn't for me higher up the list. So what did you have as a number 9 then, Mrs. Melrose?
Battle of Vranskav-Kolov.
Battle of Vranskav-Kolov. Oh, sorry, the Battle of Vranskav-Kolov.
I felt that it was good and it was brilliant because I was really involved in what Graham was up to, but... Oh, look, all the planets have been taken again. That's what got me, unfortunately. So, yeah, that's why it's down there for me.
And Mary?
This is where I have the Taringa conundrum.
Okay.
Yeah, it was a toss-up between that and the Battle of Vranskav for me is 9 and 10, really.
And Kirby?
The Talking Frog. It takes you away.
You really got a little bit distracted by that frog, didn't you?
I had a lot of problems with that story.
I think the idea of the frog was it was just something, a form that the creature...
I know. I know what it was supposed to be. I had a lot of trouble. The frog itself didn't bother me. It was the completely unnecessary... it was Gollum in the middle.
I enjoyed that. Well, there you go.
Well, we all have different opinions.
Yes, and yours is wrong. Right then, number 8 for me was the Battle of Vranskav-Kolov. Number 8, I thought it was far too similar to Pirate Planet. These all power, godlike beings were a bit sort of irritating. If they're all powerful and godlike, why haven't we seen them being all powerful and godlike in the past? The so obvious return of Tim Shaw was a bit irritating. But other than that, it was quite a good little tale. I quite liked the casting in it. It was pretty, and it was quite enjoyable. But for me, it was slightly better than the Ghost Monument, and slightly worse than the next one on my list. What did you have then, Debbie?
I had Kablam.
Oh, you silly woman! Yes. What about why?
I had Kablam. I enjoyed it, but it was one of those painting by numbers episodes again. I just felt it was an adventure, but it wasn't a standout episode for me, unfortunately.
Yes, okay, well, we can't be right all the time, can we? Mary, what do you think?
This is where I put the Ghost Monument.
Oh,
so interesting, because yours is also my number 8.
Flipped over a little bit there, haven't they?
Kirby,
you're also number 8?
Mine is also number 8, Ghost Monument.
Well, there you go. So Ghost Monument is is being quite consistent there, isn't it? Amongst us lot. Okay, number 7 for me is the Taringa Conundrum, which I thought was quite pretty and sort of reminded me a bit like with the White Studios of the sort of Blake 7 Doctor Who of the past. My connection's unstable again, so apologies anybody listens to though knowing that the picture went. I felt that's what I liked about it. I quite enjoyed the comedy aspect with the pregnant man, and I didn't have a problem with the little alien bloke. Yes, I can understand that he was a bit adiposy, wasn't he? But he was okay. And what was yours then, Debbie?
Number 7, Ghost Monument for me this time.
Ooh,
I enjoyed the episode, and I thought. Especially the drapery villains were the weapons were great, and I enjoyed that. But it wasn't as high as some of my other ones. So yeah, it was a good middling episode.
I enjoyed them all except for Arachnids. So
Deb, what did you pick for number 7?
Ghost Monument.
Okay, so Mary, what did you have for number 7?
This is where I put the Battle of Vranskav-Kolov.
You see, we've all sort of gone around the same ones.
Oh, so what I should do is add these up and average them, and
that's what I was saying.
What I'm in the process of doing is assigning point values to these.
Okay, got it.
Hooray, at last. Who's next? Kirby, you're next, aren't you?
What are we on? Seven. Kerblam.
Yeah, all right. Never mind all the explanations. What's number seven?
Kerblam.
Yeah, that's what you had, Debbie, wasn't it?
No, number seven was Ghost Monument for me.
Yeah, Debbie and I are the same, except we just flipped.
Yeah, I got you. Okay, that's quite interesting.
So, Adam, what was your number seven?
The Saranga Conundrum.
Okay.
And you're wrong.
No. I like Saranga. I do like that story. Although it's middling, obviously, when you look at its position in the middle of the charts. And I'm very annoyed with the YouTube connection at the moment. It's back again now. Apologies to the YouTube viewers for the rubbish YouTube connection. I can't win, can I? It's either a rubbish connection on Facebook or a rubbish connection on YouTube. But I think what we'll have to do is kick everybody off their streaming devices before the show goes out. Especially next week.
That's what I do here, otherwise you can't hear me.
Especially next week.
Before I got my nice fast internet connection 2 years ago, that's what I had to do, is kick people off. Remember?
Well, this is a nice fast. This is 152 gigabits per second, and it should be comfortably able to sustain everybody in the house streaming. But obviously, I'm streaming you off the Big Mac, and I'm streaming the video off my laptop, but they still should be able to do it.
To all beef patty, special sauce, lettuce, cheese.
Number six for me is The Woman Who Fell to Earth.
Interesting.
Reason being that just for me is a bit. There was some bits that are not. I didn't really connect with the relationship between Graham and Grace. It didn't seem very real to me. Obviously, Graham made it real, or Bradley Walsh made it feel more real as the series went on, because obviously he was with his acting. But in this episode, it didn't feel very. Ryan didn't feel very real. Ryan's sort of bike riding thing was a bit, let's feel sorry for him sort of thing. I didn't really get into that thing. I quite liked the Doctor's arrival and you know, that introduction to her was quite good.
Tim Shaw.
And there was too much about Sheffield in it anyway. It's been too much about Sheffield throughout the whole blooming series for my liking. Tim Shaw was okay. There was quite a lot of edgy stuff in it, which I quite liked. But like I say, it was quite middling for me, that episode. For an introduction to a doctor, it was a bit of a meh. But it wasn't that meh.
Have we determined why they picked Sheffield?
Because of all the... Probably because all the actors are from Sheffield. I don't know. Why would they pick Sheffield?
Is someone from there? Like, really? And they decided we use Sheffield?
You're the person who's the master of Wikipedia. I would imagine that if anybody knows, it would be you.
I will research later. Right now,
that's
can't
a good
go
idea.
Out my usual research stuff because I'm keeping score.
Yes, Debbie, what was your number six?
The same.
Hey!
It was middling. I really enjoyed her arrival, her energy. Tim Shaw was a nice ghastly enemy, but it was a bit too much because as I said at the time, every companion arrived in one go. And I think that was just a bit much for the first episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, they hit their stride by the third, but it was, it was a bit much at that moment. And I was fielding a lot of questions from Isla about who was who and things like that. Mm-hmm. And that's why it made number six for me.
Okay. We've only got one viewer now. Might as well terminate the women feed at the moment. Thanks to YouTube. Okay, Mary, what did you think for your number six?
My six was It Takes You Away.
Yes. Okay. Kirby.
Questions. You know, it left too many things with me going, what? Why is that? And why haven't they figured that out? And, you know, what about this? So I was like, eh.
Okay. Kirby, what was your number six?
That would be The Woman Who Fell to Earth.
Hey!
Three of us.
Brilliant. I like it when that happens. Be interesting if we can get all of us agreeing on one, but I don't think that's going to happen somehow. Okay, the next one for me would be number five, and that would be Kerblam. And I did enjoy quite a lot of Kerblam, especially the little nod to the 11th Doctor, 12th Doctor. And which one was it? I've lost 11th Doctor, wasn't it, with the Fez? So many Doctors, easy to lose track of which one's which. And yes, I liked the design of the episode, the look of it. It was fun. It was a bit of a predictable in some ways, but it just felt like a Doctor Who episode to me. That's why I really quite enjoyed it. And what did you think, Debbie, for number five?
Number five for me was The Witchfinders.
If take Alan good, coming out proper, of it, what was it like?
It was good, proper hide behind the sofa villainy and and things like that. It was great, and the whole addressing her as if she'd been a man they would have listened to her, but as she was a woman they ducked her. That was brilliant, and just it was a good cracking classic episode of Doctor Who. It had everything in it that you need, and Alan Cumming up the acting. Alan Cumming, yes, he was brilliant. He was fantastic.
It's funny, because where your audio just sort of glitched for a second, and it sounded like you said it was crap.
Oh dear! Well, that wasn't an intentional swear.
Well, crap is a name, isn't it? The bloke who invented the toilet, I believe, was it?
Crapper.
Yeah, thank you. Are you saying about the podcast, or is that his name? Kirby, what was your number five?
The Battle of Ranskor Avkalos. I actually thought that that Tim Shaw was much better in that.
So no, he was. I don't disagree with that at all. But yeah, it's fine. Quite nice that somebody liked it. Right, number four for me.
We haven't done everyone.
Oh, who? Mary. Was it Mary? Sorry, Mary. That was Kirby's fault for putting me off.
Well, my number five is The Woman Who Fell to Earth. It was spoiled for me throughout because I wanted Grace to be a companion, and I knew from the start she wasn't going to be. Mm. So that spoiled the whole thing for me.
But if people didn't spoil, post-spoilers and stuff like that, would it have been better for you?
Mm-hmm.
Mm. There you go, Kirby.
But then I would have been heartbroken at the end.
Well, that probably would have had more impact.
Because I would want her to be a companion.
Yeah.
Okay. She would have been a fantastic companion. And actually, with hindsight, I was a bit miffed that they kept bringing her back. But having gone through and watched them all again, it's actually quite nice because she has been constant in the series.
She was brought back twice. I don't think it was needed in the second time she was brought back. But I felt that obviously it was more than relevant in It Takes You Away, because it really did fit that. But maybe it was just to remind the viewer of Graham's affection for her, perhaps. I don't know, but it was maybe not needed, but it was nice to actually give Bradley Walsh the opportunity to show how brilliant he is.
It's nice to address grief as well and moving on, and it was handled nicely, I think, in that one.
Number four for me, number four, and I know this is never going to match up with everybody else because we've already had it. This is why it's probably not going to match up with anybody else, full stop. Oh, we might do, actually. Number four for me was Demons of the Punjab, and I quite liked it for several reasons. One, because it was beautifully sort of positioned, as in South Africa's filming and stuff like that. I think it was South Africa. Anyway, it's very pretty.
Yes, it was.
Acting was good. It was an interesting part of history. Again, it was a historical, sort of told fairly accurately in regards to the historical side of it. It's a shame that Doctor Who has to bring an alien into it somewhere along the line. But because I don't think they actually really needed the alien to tell this story. They could have done it in another way, perhaps, without the alien. I thought the twist with the aliens was really good, because we started off thinking they were baddies and they weren't, and things like that. I quite like when baddies aren't baddies. I quite like that aspect. It's like when the video's gone again. It's like when in... which one was it? When the Ice Warriors, when the Pertwee story, when the Ice Warriors were good, and they were the next one, they came back as bad again. Which one was that one? Peladon, that's the one, the Peladon story.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yes. My face is just buffering, apparently, according to Laurie Nix. Buffer it up a bit there. And Lillian Robbins, I'm giving up watching the stream, oh well. And then also Lauren, it says, damn it all, running late today here in La La Land. But yeah, it's getting beyond a joke, this live thing. I don't know if it's YouTube's fault or White Fibre's fault, but it is a bit frustrating. Anyway, where was I? So I was on Demons of the Punjab. Right then, yes, Debbie, number four.
Number four for me was It Takes You Away.
Right.
It Takes You Away. I loved it. I thought it was a really good episode. cracking the whole idea of having the mirror universe and the blind girl. But it let me down with the fact that we didn't really address the fact that, having had a go at the bad dad in Resolution, they kind of just let the dad who basically neglected his daughter to hang out with his wife, let that slide a little bit. So that's just one of my little bugbears about the story. But it was just beautifully set and really nicely told story in dealing with grief and loss and letting go. And I thought it was quite a touching episode and set in one of the most beautiful places in the world. So there you go.
Well, I think that his neglect is a symptom of our modern society and addiction, where a person can bring down by neglecting his whole family.
Yeah.
Right, I'm closing down some windows.
Debbie should start a YouTube channel called Debbie's Bugbears.
I have recorded an episode of that, but I haven't got around to publishing it yet.
Debbie's Bugbears.
Mary, what did you think for number four?
I have Rosa as my number four. A nice story, but otherwise marred by an unnecessary monster, whatever you want to call him, evil force.
Okay, and Kirby for number four.
Resolution.
Oh, okay. I'm keeping that, even though it's unstable, I'm keeping the recording going just in case it goes on and people can watch it later, but I will have a look at it, and if it glitches on the actual recording, then we'll have to ditch it and not have a episode 399 on the YouTube channel. Very, very naughty.
My only reason for it being there is because none of the rest of you haven't actually given a rank for that one yet, is that the three that I put higher than it, I just like slightly better.
Yeah, so remind me of, sorry, your number four on Resolution.
Well, that's not a good reason.
did you say that's Resolution?
Resolution is the Dalek.
How self-centered of you.
Sorry, that was number four, wasn't it? And you said that's yours, was it? Resolution. Yes. Sorry, I got distracted by the by the other issues we have with the show this week. Okay, number three. I take everybody's done number four, have they? Before I get quite right. Number three for me was Resolution. Obviously, love the steampunk Dalek. I actually quite loved the episode full stop. As a traditional Doctor Who story with a Dalek in it, and I loved how sort of horrible the Dalek was. It was very similar to Dalek, but what?
you're saying Dalek reminded me that I was listening to a podcast last week and there was an American on there going Darlek.
Oh god.
It's driving me crazy.
Did you manage to resist the temptation to correct them?
No.
No,
I should.
So you did resist the temptation to correct them then?
Yes.
Yes. Okay, Debbie, what did you have for number three?
Demons of the Punjab. I thought I'd have that just a little bit higher, but it's been pipped by two others. Really enjoyed the episode. Loved the quite careful way of dealing with the subject. And also it was a subject that I knew happened, but I wasn't overly aware of. So it was an utterly interesting historical episode. Yes, there were villains, the aliens were in it and didn't actually really need them there, really. But it was kind of nice that they were just observing. It turns out they were just observing what was going on. They weren't going to interfere in any way, which would normally be what the Doctor thinks they're going to do. They're going to interfere in history. It's like, no, actually, we're just watching. Like alien tourists type thing. I know they're mourning, but, they're going around.
They're in the morning. What's in the morning?
They were so similar to the glass people from the last Capaldi. Although that didn't change my rank for it, which you'll find out.
It was a toss up between this and the next one. There's two.
My video light.
Literally, I've got 3-2, 3-2 written next to each of them because I couldn't really decide. So, but I've put Demons and Punjab there.
Right, I've opened up a live thing for the viewers on Facebook. I'm just going to post that. Moved to Facebook. Wish us luck, because it probably will go sort of, as I would say, tits up. Mary, then, what was your number three?
Three for me was Witchfinders. Riding high entirely on the performance of Alan Cummings. So, the rest of the story, it was kind of...
You're going to move into trouble there with Kirby. He's going, no. So that means you're going to get told off.
We're both, Mary and I matched again.
Oh, I thought he said no, because she said Alan Cummings when it's not got an S on the end of it.
Oh, okay.
So, Kirby, you're also at a number 3 with Witchfinders?
Correct.
All right.
Well, this is going well, isn't it, everybody? right, so is that it then? Debbie, everybody's done number 3?
Yeah.
Yes,
I
matched Mary.
Incredible. Just imagine how far we'd be into it if all the technical issues we've had with this show hadn't happened. Right then, for me, it's getting exciting now. Number 2! That's completely wrong. We're not going to get any matches, because my number 2... is not that one I've got on the screen. What's going on here? Oh, because I've opened up the wrong... Hang on, bear with, wrong bit of software. Number 2 is Rosa. Rosa is a piece of class in regards to writing and a depiction of classical scenes in Doctor Who. It's a time travel show at the end of the day with a few little twists here and there. And being that it's at number 2, it was... a very, very slight difference between my liking of the one. I'll explain why I like the one I liked more in a minute. But Rosa is brilliant. It should get awards in my view. What more can I say? It's fantastic. It's my number 2. What was your number 2 then, Debbie?
My number 2 was Resolution.
Ooh, and after you gave it such a pasting.
I wasn't so keen on it the first watch, but after talking with you guys and Mary especially about watch it again, I did. I really, really enjoyed it. It's a classic Doctor Who romp involving people trying to blow up Daleks, a Dalek, and just fantastic to have. I know it's been done, the Dalek episode and everything, but I really liked it. It was a good classic episode of Doctor Who, almost a relief. From this series.
You spent the whole thing interrupting it by going ping to us all the way through the episode, you naughty girl. Ping, this is rubbish. Ping, is this written by Chris Chibnall? Ping!
It was written by Chibnall, and that was the whole pointless bit between, the guys talking, bonding, and, Yorba Crapdad, and we knew what was going to happen at the end. It's a shame they didn't kill him off, but he decided he didn't want to go in the TARDIS.
And the monster went out the door together.
That would have been a Russell T. Davis way of doing it.
Yes.
But having watched it again with Isla a couple of times now, that's up there as one of the best ones of the season.
Okay. Mary, what was your number 2?
My number 2 is Kerblam.
Ooh,
I just thought it was just a fun, lighthearted episode that I just enjoyed for that reason. Yeah.
Oh, I'm rather pleased about that, because I like Kerblam, even though it's not my
name. I now have all the information I need for putting these in.
Be quiet, Mr. Spoiler. What was your number 2, anyway?
My number 2 was Rosa.
Oh, good. Same as me, then. Well done. I'll give you a ding for that. Okay, then, there's obviously no secrets, as therefore, which my number 1 is. It Takes You Away, because it did take me away, basically. It did what the title said. It was a totally engrossing and engaging story, completely different from any Doctor Who story I've seen in the past and probably will see in the future. I didn't have any problem with Gollum in the middle of it. I love the notion of these killer moths and stuff like that. All in all, it was absolutely superb. And I, again, that's an episode I feel could win awards. I also loved the performance. They brought in a disabled actor to play a disabled actor, and she was fantastic. All in all, yes, superb. I loved it. It was a very tight squeeze between the two subjects, but I felt the reason why I went for It Takes You Away is because It Takes You Away is an original story, whereas Rosa is a depiction of an event in history. So they already had the story, they just had to work it into Doctor Who, whereas It Takes You Away was an original story, which I love very much. Debbie, what was your number 1?
Rosa. It was just brilliant, fantastic episode. Yes, the villain was a bit, unnecessary, I felt, because it felt like the history was, it's already written, and I just like the way that they just became a main part of the story of such a great period in history, and it was just beautifully told, and the acting was brilliant. With the Doctor came into her own, all the others, yeah, all of the companions all really acted beautifully. And when that point when Graham stood up to, you know, and they were like, sit down, you've got to sit down, he was like, I don't want to be part of this, that was brilliant. So yeah, it was my favourite then, and it is my favourite of the whole season.
Okay, Mary, what was your number one?
My number one was Resolution.
Brilliant.
To me, this felt the most like returning to the old, you know, fast-paced adventure, yeah, and the Daleks and everything that I enjoy about Doctor Who. So, yep.
It's a shame they got rid of UNIT, because UNIT would have featured quite brilliantly in this in that particular
story. Well, they kind of did, didn't they, when the army turned up?
Yeah, but so that might have as well have been UNIT.
Shoot everything,
yes.
Try everything. You could just hit the brig in the background, really.
But it was proper Doctor Who, that one. And it was nice that a Dalek featured in a proper Doctor Who episode in a positive way. Kirby, what was your number one?
Demons of the Punjab.
Wow, excellent.
I really, really... My problem with Rosa was the villain.
Mm-hmm.
And I didn't have any problems with, and that's the reason I didn't put it as number one. Demons of the Punjab, I just felt was a perfect story. Brilliant. And you guys don't agree with me, but that's fine.
No, but what we do agree with, that there's a lot of good stuff to talk about in the last series of Doctor Who. I will say that the stuff maybe in the bottom three, for my bottom three, was particularly bad, especially the bottom one, which the only thing we all agreed on was the worst one, one of the worst Doctor Who stories since we've had Curse of the Bad Plot, which I think Curse of the Bad Plot was actually better than that particular tale. But there we go. So have you got any, have you gleaned anything for our sort of group opinions on this?
Yes. Hang on.
I've got the rankings of all of our
favorites. I've got the rankings.
Oh.
To our most favorite to our least.
Have you?
I have too.
Are you going to fight over it? Hang on. I've got to play the appropriate music. Here we go. Kirby and Mary are going to fight over the rights to actually impart the rankings. Here we go. We're not fighting very hard.
Sure.
Hang on, I'm waiting for the fight to finish. Yeah?
Master?
Yes?
Since I just posted it on the Facebook group, I win.
Right. Point deduction for Kirby. Right, I think you should do it by sort of viaduct way. So one will do one and one the next. We'll start with, who's going to end up, if I start with Kirby, he'll end up back doing that. If we start with Mary, if I get my brain maths right, Mary will end up announcing the number one. So Mary, if we start with you doing number 11 in our group opinion.
11, the worst one?
Yes.
You're saying?
Yes.
Okay. Well, that was easy. That's Arachnids.
Indeed. Kirby number 10.
Saranga.
Mary number 9.
Ghost Monument.
Kirby number 8.
Battle of Ranskor Av Kalas.
Mary number 7.
I have Demons as the... Oh, you know, he's right. No, Battle is right. Demons is number 7.
Okay.
Mm-mm. No.
Oh, here we go.
How's Demons... Demons is number 3.
No, it can't possibly be, because we have one of the lowest rankings for Demons. Since Kirby wants to claim it, let him do it.
Yeah, go on, Kirby.
Well, no, how are you coming up with that? I have it as 1, Adam has it as 4, Debbie has it as 3, and you have it as 10. That gives us 4.5.
Yeah, okay. Well, I think we all need to make things easier so we can actually get through to the end of this episode. We've all decided that we're going to use yours, Kirby. Get on with it.
Where were we?
Number 7.
Right there.
11, 10, 9, 8, 7. 7 is the woman who fell to Earth.
Right, okay. Number 6.
Kerblam.
Yes, I know. But
you.
Oh, sorry, that's the episode. Number 5.
The Witchfinders.
Number four.
It Takes You Away.
Number three.
Demons of the Punjab.
Ooh, that's good. Number two.
Resolution.
And number one's Rosa, no doubt.
Rosa.
Yeah.
Now, can someone check my work?
No. It's not school.
I checked my work on demons, and I did add it incorrectly, so Kirby's right.
Ooh, that's never happened before. The first for everything here on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast. And for anybody watching on Facebook, we've suddenly dropped in because we've been let down by YouTube. We've got Laurie Nick saying, hey there. At least somebody hung in there with us. This is episode 399. I'm hoping that the full video feed will be available on YouTube later. But of course, what this is a podcast, so there will actually be a podcast to listen to, which will be a bit more listenable. These are bonus things for our fans on the 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast page. So thanks, everybody. Apparently we had people join. We've got three viewers. And we had Patrick Bishop, Debbie Pearson, Mark Hyford, Dean Hill, Laurie Nix and Alan T. Butcher that all joined. I don't know if they all remained, but they joined. So there we go. But I think it's because Debbie only joined because there was a ping in the other room. And she said, what's that ping for? Oh, Adam has gone live on Facebook. And she went to see what I was doing live on Facebook podcasting. There we go. So let's move on to what other people thought, because I have had some stuff come through. I think Kirby will probably want to do his request that was on Facebook. He normally does.
He can read Robert's post.
Yes, Kirby can read Robert's post.
We're going to have to... That's an incredible post. My goodness.
Apparently he gave us a paragraph each, so...
I don't want a paragraph.
You see how long that is?
Beg your pardon, I've got my flies open. Hang on.
It's the longest I've seen.
Yeah, well, I'll do my flies up then, shall I? Grief. Okay. I'm trying to find the 20 megabyte page on me doodah. Where is it? Oh, there it is, right then. So you're going to do Robert. Wish it Robert, for goodness sake, just record some audio. You used to record audio. It's still, the technology is still there. Okay, right, so. Go on in, Kirby.
Well, why don't we just start at the top and then...
Oh, I'm trying to find it. Where did you put it then?
Huh?
I'm trying to find your post.
I've got it.
Have you? What about the post, though? Right, Jason Rushworth? No? Is that a...
Yes.
Oh, yes, he's the first one.
Great FX, but wooden acting from Walsh and no memorable lines from the lead. Now, there's a few... incorrect things in that statement, but each is entitled to their own opinions. But the main incorrection, if that's a word, is the wooden acting from Walsh. Yeah. Does anybody here think that Bradley Walsh was wooden? It's all gone very quiet. Unusual for Kirby, so the fact is, yes. Okay, and then Jeff Waddle. Really? I thought Bradley Walsh was a better actor than the rest put together. Would have to agree. Mm-hmm. He could have played the Doctor, to be fair. Duncan Nifton said, personally, I think Walsh was the highlight of the series again. Jodie is a great actress, let down by poor writing. It wasn't poor writing all the way through, though, Duncan, to be fair. John Greenham, that seems to be the majority opinion. Yeah, Bradley was actually the best companion since they started the show back up. Not based on good looks, of course.
No. It's not the best companion since the show.
No, you have to have a companion, an impact with companion. And
Donna was Donna the best was, companion.
Donna, yeah.
Rose was pretty good, Donna. Although it was all down to the romantic side, I think. But Donna was the best sort of traditional style in regards to the way she and the Doctor bounced off each other. She was fantastic. Closely followed by, obviously, Clara.
Wait
for the storm.
No.
That set you off. I knew that would. I said that deliberately just to wind you up. It was fun.
Right then.
Where do we get up to? Right then. And this is where Kirby and I can now sit back and read Robert Haynes.
You really want me to read this?
Robert Haynes by Kirby Bartlett Sloan.
Someone else reads Alan's.
What?
I'll read this.
Go on then, Kirby. We're waiting for you.
Robert Haynes says, I feel really let down after a promise or a refresh, we got a lot more of the same. By same, I mean poor writing. We have a Doctor Who acts very much like Matt Smith's Doctor instead of having a different portrayal. It's like Jodie watched a couple of episodes of Tennant and Smith's reign and thought she'd do more of the same. We had stupid quips, as per usual, that's and they're Doctor not Who. Funny. It also undermines the gravitas of a scene, too. Plus, it doesn't sound very good coming from Jodie. I feel she's more of a serious actress. I detest the practice of saying things fast to make the characters seem like they're so intelligent. I hate the outfit, too. It's not very doctorish in the least. It looks so normal, like something you'd see anyone wearing, instead of standing out from the crowd. And that stupid sonic screwdriver. Stop waving it about like it's a magic wand and having it do so many bloody things.
They've got to sell something at the BBC.
It's a scientific instrument! Take the most recent episode. When coming across the body of someone, they are scanned with a sonic to deduce he was killed by a Dalek weapon. The doctors of old would have had a quick examination of the body to deduce that. Using the sonic takes away the doctor's intelligence. Now, where are the memorable villains? Even Rosa, one of the best episodes last series, had a pathetic villain who mostly seemed to just scowl and then seemed to just disappear. Tim Shaw seemed about the most memorable villain, even then not that strong. I seem to be agreeing, too, when I say that Bradley Walsh gave a standout performance as Graham. He seemed to be served well by the writing. Dare I say it, but three companions are too much, especially as we only have 50-minute episodes, unlike Hartnell's time when they had more episodes to split the action up into. Too many times this cast had very little to do. Most of the episodes aren't even memorable, either. The Spider-Woman was a rip-off of the Green Death and a very weak episode at that. Unlike Green Death, everyone remembers that it's the one with the maggots. The spiders, while looking good, did bugger all. Not scary. The less said about the lazy writing with the Trump dig, the better. The Pregnant Man episode was just dumb also. This sounds like those are Reggies, doesn't it? That makes absolutely no sense in practical terms. If they had the gestation period of 9 months, I'd be more inclined to accept that, but to expect a complex life to grow in such a short time borders on ridiculous.
It's at a science fiction fantasy TV show.
Robert is an ex-nurse, so
yes. At least if you're suspending belief, grounded in some kind of reality. The Pregnant Man wasn't funny. We've seen it before in Arnold Schwarzenegger's Jr. Also, I was waiting for the show to start actually feel like it was Doctor Who. Kerblam was another episode I enjoyed. That was more along the lines of arriving at a place, something's gone wrong, solve the problem, and leave. Quite a step in the right direction, even if it did have the hint of Robots of Death about it. A story I love to bits. And when are we going to... Good grief, this keeps going on. I'm having to scroll up. And when are we going to actually have companions who live on the TARDIS without going home every second episode? Why do we have the Doctor be able to control the TARDIS so much? Well, that comes and goes. Good grief. I love the old days where we didn't know where we were going to land. Need a randomizer for that.
Yeah.
We know now that wherever they land, the Doctor can just whip them all safely away at a moment's notice. It takes away a lot of jeopardy, undermines the drama. I feel that Jodie should develop her own take on the character, not be let down by such awful writing. I hate it that her character feels like it's Matt Smith's. Take away the comedy lines. I don't think it suits Jodie at all. Have her speak with gravitas. Is he repeating himself? Sort of.
I think he's ranting.
Gravitas. Don't undermine things with a quip. Cut having so many companions. Have the TARDIS land at random places, not where the Doctor chooses. Have memorable villains. You don't say you're doing away with having old foes and then present something that's not in the least bit memorable. Also, have a proper defeat of an enemy, not just having them disappear, leaving you with a sense of wondering what happened to the, quote, villain. Only three episodes had redeeming qualities. Rosa, Kerblam, and the Witchfinders one. Maybe even the one with the blind girl, but even that was an odd one, albeit pretty well acted. And was I the only one hoping that we'd get to see that Dalek's buddies in en masse? After Rosa, we had the Partition of India episode, which was basically the same thing. Do nothing, let history take its course. I thought that having had the balls to make the character female, that we'd have writing different from what we've had lately, but it's more of the same writing we've had from the show. Also, how many episodes did we have on Earth this series? Too many! I did appreciate that we had historicals that were getting to be enjoyable also. Alan Cumming was a particular highlight.
Oh, more? There's more?
Yes, he's more. How long is this one?
Get on with it.
So, way disappointed. I hope that the time is used wisely before the next series. Reading the letters in the latest Doctor Who magazine would lead one to believe that this series was the best thing since sliced bread. Funny, but most of the people I talk to don't feel the same way. One thing I don't want people to misinterpret, but Jodie is okay. It's just the writing and choice to act like Matt Smith's Doctor that I have the problem with.
Okay. Ooh, well done, Kirby.
Now you know how Debbie feels.
Yeah. Debbie will know how Debbie feels because Debbie's just had a message come through.
Oh, God.
But don't read it yet. Just digest a little bit of it while we talk to Laurie Nix, who says... Oh, Mary, you can do that one.
Okay. Laurie Nix says, I've covered the issues I've had with the series before. In short, one, too many people in the TARDIS makes for too little character development. Two, yay, historicals, but diminished in quality over the season. Three, really want to like it, but not as engaging for me as I want it to be. Four, thank the stars for Graham. Five, cinematically, it looks great. Now, my rating from worst to best, including the New Year's special, based solely on do I remember it and would I rewatch?
Yes.
So from worst to best, it goes Arachnids in the UK.
Agreed.
The Tsaranga Conundrum, Kerblam, The Witchfinders, The Ghost Monument, The Battle of Ranskor Ab Kolos, Demons of the Punjab, It Takes You Away, The Woman Who Fell to Earth, Resolution, and Rosa is number one.
Yeah, fair enough.
Yeah, that sounds a lot like our list.
Yeah, almost like their actual final result, isn't it, that one?
Yeah.
Sorry, Kirby?
Yeah, I was agreeing.
Okay. Linian Robin says, have you looked at my legs? No, sorry. I don't have time to do a full ranking, Lillian. Bottom.
She's too busy with her legs.
Yeah, then we talk about her legs, and she says bottom. Tie between Spiders and Stitch, then top, Witchfinders. Oh, that's interesting. Did somebody have Witchfinders as their top one?
At the top, yeah.
So much potential this season, but was wasted because the damn TARDIS was... What?
Serious.
The damn TARDIS was too crowded. Yaz was often forgotten about. Bradley Walsh was great. Ian Kirk, my computer crashed and I had to reboot. My audio feedback was not finished and I lost it. Re-recording now. Get on with it, Ian. That's a joke. That's a joke. Jeff Waddle said, just sent. Well, yeah, we'll have a look at that in a minute. And that's the end of what was on Kirby's little request feed. So that... that's funny, we actually went into feedback with me actually without me saying we've got feedback to go into. We drifted into it without. Wish I mentioned it now. Okay, what else we got here? We've got quite a lot come through, and we'll go for this one first. I hope we can hear it.
Well, good evening, 20 Megabytes. Andy Minute here, sitting here. It's about 7:45 on Saturday night of the year with a very nice 2019 vintage cup of tea.
Dry January.
Dry January.
Right, the season 11, series 11, series, I don't know, 38, depends what you want to call it. But anyway, the latest series of Doctor Who, which had, of course, as the Doctor, the wonderful Jodie Whittaker. Was it a resounding success?
No.
Was it a complete failure?
No.
It was a curate set piece.
Oh, well.
Something in between. Yes. There were some good episodes, some bad episodes, some good writing, bad directing, good acting, good bad acting, good direction, bad direction. In other words, it was a fairly typical series of Doctor Who. So why uppity about the fact that it was a ratings failure when it wasn't actually? The ratings went up overall. They did start very high and came down, but that's general. Also, TV ratings are coming down in general. The way we watch TV is now very different. I did not watch a single episode live. In fact, I've only watched Resolution this morning. And given the fact that to what, the 12th of January, and that's 11 days late, but that's real life and storm again for you. So I don't even read too much into that. But what can we say about this? Well, I think by the end of it, I wasn't watching the Doctor being played by a woman, or the Doctor as a woman, or a woman doctor, or female doctor. I was watching the Doctor. End of story. You know, that's it, you know. The Doctor is now played by Jodie Whittaker. It doesn't matter, you know, Doctor being tall, short, old, young, thin, fat, male, female. Does it really matter? Of course it blimmin' well doesn't. Sorry. One thing I did get wrong, I think they got wrong, there's too many in the crew. Graham was excellent. I think he really was, because he was the one, the old wise head. I think he's the one, he's seen it all. I mean, given what he's been through, you know, you can understand that. I think it really worked. Ryan, I think, was an interesting character, somebody. Dyspraxia, they talked about at the beginning, talked about the end. Weren't a lot made of it in the middle bits, really, were there? There was occasional reference to it, but I think that was just really passively put in. I think the camp character was, in a way, a bit lost, was Yaz. And apparently there's a comment this morning of something at the BFI where she's left her job, and I think everyone assumed it means Yaz left her job, not the actress has left the job. But I mean, I was a Bobby 30 years ago. If I'd have taken that much leave off, I'd have been fired. So what's actually going on there?
Time travel machine.
But I do
machine.
Think that three in a TARDIS is too many. I think we saw in Resolution, we saw that Graham was in a way left behind. I think actually had four at one point because they brought Aaron in as well. So he got a very, very crowded TARDIS. And that TARDIS as well, don't like it. Sorry, it's just too dark. You can't see what's going on. It's just too messy. It's I loved the previous Doctor's TARDIS. I thought that was the TARDIS the way the Doctor could be. It was like an enlarged study, and I did like that. But let's think about the stories in general. What were the good ones? Well, Resolution I thought was excellent. I think that's one of the best Dalek stories in ages. You know, it's been called a steampunk Dalek because the way the Dalek creature rebuilt it and built it new spare parts, and it was I think it was really quite good. And then he came with more guns as well, and people blowing away. What the hell's happened to UNIT there? Oh dear God, that's going to be a new one. There were some very good ones. I think the first story was the way he introduced the Doctor was good. I enjoyed the Ghost Monuments. Rosa, well, I mean, that was excellent, that was, because that really was showing how the TARDIS crew can go back and not change history, but impact history. And as Graham himself found out, become part of history. Did that really shock him, didn't he? That was good. Arachnid in the UK got a bit silly at times. And, of course, I know Sheffield because I did my student days there. And, you know, again, 35 years ago. It is 35 years of cheaper trigger. I'm getting old. There were some good ones there. There were some bad ones. Witchfinders, I didn't enjoy at all. The way they played King James was utterly, utterly ludicrous. There were some stories that started off with good intentions. Kablam, I think, started off really, really well and then just sort of tailed away and disappeared. I think It Takes You Away did the same again. There was the kernel of a good story there, and that's K-E-R-N-I-L, not C-O-L-O-N-E-L. And it just didn't quite make it. And I think that's the problem, that some of these stories just, they started well. Demons of the Punjab, excellent. And I thought as well, the way you didn't see the end. You heard the gunshot. You didn't, I mean, I think that was necessary. You didn't necessarily just see it because you knew what was going to happen. And again, I think that was good because that's the way it's playing with the past and showing the past is not what you think it is. I think that worked really well. There were some that were a bit sort of, yeah, Saranga Conundrum. I just didn't, yeah. Ba-ding! Oh, dear God. I mean, some of them just weren't that good. It's interesting that the good ones, apart from Resolution, tended not to the tribunal ones. And I think perhaps, has he written too much? You know, Rosa, he wrote part of it, but not all of it. I wonder how much was him, how much was not him. Ghost Monument, he rose. I think we all knew what was going to happen there as well. There's, I think, if he stings these ideas up, he can bring them up. He needs a finisher. That's what he isn't. He's somebody who creates ideas, can't bring to fruition. I think he should concentrate on being a showrunner and taking the overarching view and then doing that, leaving other people do that themselves. I think he's perhaps taken on too much. So now we have to wait. That's it. We've seen one episode this year. We might not see it till, I'm guessing, probably whether it might be Christmas episode, I don't know. But it might, the Christmas, might still launch a new series for late winter, early spring next year. But it's going to be 2021. I think that's, again, I think the days of a series every year is gone. It's the same with other TV series. I mean, look, there's a massive series in the UK called Peaky Blinders. And that has been on the air for 18 months. And that gets massive ratings. And it's in Birmingham as well. It's actually Boston-like, although some of the actors do wander a bit. Mr. Ian Murphy's brilliant accent. So Boston-like, he's like our kid. Anyway, that's enough for me. I'm going to finish my nice kip aside, and we'll be seeing you.
Yeah, that was Andy Nunney, everybody.
Yay!
I can barely understand him at times.
Pardon? You understood him?
No.
I didn't understand.
He kept on shouting. Random shouting, which was a bit off-putting.
The random shouting, yeah.
Pretty much that's how it sounded.
Yeah, but I think what he's basically saying that Chibnall should give up writing for Doctor Who, just do the Andrew Cartmell role, just basically orchestrate the other writers into doing episodes. Worth thinking about. Okay, let's have a look, see what people are saying on the feed. We've got Alan T. Butcher, extra point for Mary for saying Kirby is right. And he says he's a Remainer. I thought we weren't talking politics on the episode. Alan T. Butcher said, oh, it's still Alan T. Butcher, Bradley could never do wooden acting unless he played Pinocchio. That's probably out of Andy Nunny's joke book. we still have feedback. Let's see how much. Oh, my goodness. Right. Let's have a look. I'm going to send this particular feedback to somebody.
You've already sent me one.
Not you. Right. Let's see who we can send it. Kirby's actually very fast at reading, I've noticed.
Oh, yeah. Kirby.
Yeah.
That's you, Kirby.
Yeah, very fast at reading stuff, aren't you, Kirby? Okay, so I'm going to send it to Mary.
Oh, Mary.
Oh, is that your ding going ding, Mary?
Yeah, I've got one. Yes.
You heard the ding.
Yeah, that's from Reese Barton, who could be bothered to stay up for the show. Or decided to stay in bed for it. I don't know, one way or another, whatever it is in Australia at the moment. Have you got it?
Who do you want to read first?
Well, Mary's doing her. From... Mary's doing Reese first, not in the biblical sense, obviously, but Mary is reading Reese's feedback.
So we're doing Reese first? Okay.
We're going Reese first. There's quite a lot of it in there, Mary. Hang on, I'll have a look at the email, because I think he's structured the email in a way. Oh, God, I'll read it then. Right then. Demon. Oh, sorry. Hello, team. No gang, no fam. Oh, what's that mean? No gang, no fam.
Fam, because the doctor calls her group fam.
Fam, okay. Or team.
I'd love to be fam. Joining you in person when the show's recorded on Sundays, as you will be setting up your microphone, starting up Skype, and waiting for Adam to call you. I'm packing my lunch and uniform into a bag, jumping into my car and heading for work on a Monday morning. This sort of time zone dance we have to dance feels very appropriate for a podcast about time travelling show. Anyway,
it's true.
I want to contribute in some way, so here is my... He could have done a recording, Reese. Your dulcet tones are required. So anyway, I want to contribute in some way, so here is my preference list for season 11. Please note, I was writing this as the episodes were airing and originally started writing it as best to worst. I've simply copied and pasted it, so please read it from 11 being the worst to 1, which will obviously be the best. Sorry if this causes inconvenience. I'm sending this off quickly so my thoughts can feature on the episode. Right, so what did he say it was? The worst was what? 11 being the worst.
Yeah.
And 1. Okay, so I'll do it in the opposite order then. Right, so Reese's worst episode was number 11, Witchfinders. This is slow. Personally, I felt it felt very little threat, and it has the same problem as the previous episode, a rushed and tacked on ending. Alan Cumming and Jodie Whittaker were on the only two things I liked, and like it an understatement. They were brilliant. Sorry, I really understand what you're saying now, and it's terrible. It's very small text, you see, in their own individual scenes and in the ones where bigger. They played off each other. So that was number 11. Number 10, Arachnids in the UK. This was enjoyable until Chibnall forgot to include a convincing ending and had the Doctor contradict herself about providing a dignified death for the spiders. Number 9, true. The Battle of Ranskor Av Kolos could possibly the worst finale. Is that what you're saying?
Season. He spelled it wrong.
Could possibly be the worst season finally ever. That's not how you spell finale, Reese. It's got an E on the end of it. Someone insert some pace and tension, goddammit. Not even the amazing Jamie Childs could manage that. Number 8 was the Saranga Conundrum. Like Ghost Monument, this one of the rare episodes this season that actually had a pace, for me at least. The effects are excellent, and unlike a lot of people, I actually liked the Pating. I liked it too, Rhys. Number 7, Ghost Monument. This one very much grew on me if you compare the pace and character moments of other episodes from this season. It holds up. The only major problem is that the villain is a bunch of flying, talking, murderous towels. Yeah. Other than that, it's a fantastic episode.
Just a small thing.
Yeah. Number 6, Resolution. This is enjoyable. The only major letdown for me is that it's only full episode we'll get this year. Sorry, it's the only full episode we'll get this year, which is colouring my opinion of it at the moment, but that might change. Number 5 was Kablam, a solid episode, but as with a lot of the season, it's ultimately inconsequential. Number 4, The Woman Who Fell to Earth, a strong introduction to our characters, the new amazing look of the show, and the performances are strong. Number 3, It Takes You Away, no comments on that one. Number 2, Rosa, no comments on that one, and Bliminette, he agrees with Blimmin Kirby. Demons of the Punjab, number 1, I've said it before, my top 3 are pretty much tied because for me, they are the most emotional, amusing and insightful for our characters of the season. Making this list was fun. On a related note, I'm just going to mention the latest episode of Staggering Stories podcast, where the team have ranked their best to worst of seasons of New Who. Best to worst seasons, that's the whole season. I was going to talk about that, but we might run out of time. This has inspired me, and to slightly give away my list, the season is third from bottom, which doesn't mean yeah. I didn't enjoy it. I just find the writing to be flat on average, very slow, but the cast, music, production, values, direction of it have been among the best I've seen in the show's 55-year history. I have to agree with that. I'm looking forward to next year's episodes, but hopefully they'll have some more of everything to them. I hope you also had fun making your lists and that I can join you all again sometime soon. But until then, speak to you later. That's Rhys Barton, everyone. Record something, Rhys. I know we wouldn't be able to see the list, but you might as well have said that in the recording, mightn't they? She, him. Sorry, I said called him she.
Pastor?
What?
He's actually joined us twice this year. No, he joined us 3 times this year.
That's correct.
In the last year.
That's correct. Right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Jeff Waddle. In order, it takes you away. That's in order. I don't know if that's in reverse order. That's probably this is in 1 to 11 order. Right. In order, it takes you away. Resolution, Demons of the Punjab, Witchfinders are the episode I'd go out my way to watch again. Rosa, Ghost Monument, Woman to Fell to Earth. I wouldn't switch off if I came across it flicking through the channels. Unfortunately, Arachnids, Bottle of Ravi Shankar, Tsunami Conjunction and Kaplunk, I'll never watch again. The show has never looked better, sounded better, never looked fresher, but I do think the writing has been off for a lot of it, especially for Jodie. I do think 3 companions are too much. Yaz has been woefully underwritten, and personally I think she's potentially the one with the most scope to make her interesting. Bradley Walsh has been the star of the season, though. I am not bothered about the lack of returning villains, until the new year one at least, but my goodness, they never felt a real threat in any episode, and most of the villains weren't dealt with. Even Tim Shaw, Graham shot his foot, and they threw him in a stasis chamber. My goodness, it's all a bit kids' TV for me. Signs of promising stuff have to get a lot more episodes of the standard resolution in next season, though, and Jodie has to be much more proactive and doctor-like. In summary, not bad, not great, an okay season, but another I won't be getting on DVD. I'm guessing I'm just a classic Who fan at heart. Well, I will say, judging by what Jess said there, it's still better than his reviews of the previous 3, 6, six seasons of Doctor Who.
Yes. I think he enjoyed this more than all of the others put together, to be honest, from the way he was posting throughout the season. It was definitely a lot more enthusiastic than usual.
Indeed, right then. Okay.
They've been saying that next season is going to be Yaz will come into her own. It's all going to be about Yaz, and I'm just a bit worried they're going to do the Clara route.
I believe it when I see it.
Well, we already are doing that with the other two, you know, with Ryan and Graham.
I believe they want to see it. And,
I find that tedious. You know, I want to get on to some adventures.
Okay.
If you want soap, watch soap.
Nearly got in the Ian's theme tune then before the interruption. We'll try it again.
Sorry.
Oh, now you've messed up my computer.
Oh, I messed it up. Okay.
Hello, 20 Minute Back Podcast. This is Ian.
Me.
I look back at the first year of the new regime of Doctor Who. The Woman Who Fell to Earth. The introductory story. Diversity comes to Doctor Who with a female doctor.
Isn't that a dance troupe?
A companion with a disability. And multicultural companions. Like Billy Piper and Catherine Tate before, fans were surprised that Bradley Walsh could act. Unlike Amy Pond, Yaz is a real policewoman. It seems to me that Graham was introduced to handle physical threats if necessary, like Ian in 1963.
Yes.
Grace gets killed at the end of this story, then haunts the rest of the series. A recurring criticism of the series is that the menace is not permanently dealt with. The Doctor saves Tim Char's life by teleporting him to a random part of the galaxy. The Ghost Monument. A race across a hostile planet. The Doctor gets her TARDIS back. Rosa. The TARDIS crew have to be very careful dealing with a historical figure. The villain from the Storm Cage was disappointing. There was a storm cage at Newport in the Isle of Wight. I did not like this story. Most people did like it. Arachnids in the UK. A warning of the dangers of pollution, like in the old days. The menace is not fully dealt with. They leave the panic room full of spiders, and there's one living near Yaz's home.
Mm-hmm.
The Saranga conundrum. The TARDIS crew gets stuck on a spaceship, which is then attacked by a weird little creature who escapes at the end. Demons of the Punjab. Another historical where they have to tread carefully so as not to change anything. Some aliens are added to the story, but they are mostly irrelevant. Kablam. Another romp. A terrorist wants there to be a lot more human employees at the depressing Kablam company. He kills himself but achieves his purpose.
Mm-hmm.
The Witchfinders. A historical romp. The Doctor gets mixed up with mud zombies. It takes you away. A father goes a little crazy after his wife dies and deserts his daughter by discovering a different dimension. The Doctor gets him back again. So possibly another unsatisfactory conclusion. I found the first third, Scandinavian horror, interesting. And I don't like horror. The Battle of Ranskor Av Kozlos. Well, no, wait a minute. The Battle of Ranskor Av Kozlos. This is where Tim Shaw went. He's playing God to a pair of powerful aliens and attacks the Earth. Resolution. A DIY threat. Dalek it yourself. My favourite episode of the series. An original handling of a Dalek story.
Yeah.
This was the first year of Chibnall's custody of Doctor Who, and as usual, the new showrunner changed everything. His first year was bound to be a bit shaky, but it was enjoyable enough, and his second year will probably be better. Bye for now.
Thank you, and that's Ian Kirk, everybody. Thank you.
Thanks, Ian.
Yes. Debbie Melrose has some blurb to read, don't you, Debbie?
I do. It's from the missing feedback for Series 11, Episode 10 from Alan T. Butcher. Yeah. So, Revenge of the Dental Fetishist or The Cobbler's Faith of the Ux Rebooted.
Right, I'm adjusting my chair for the purpose. Here we go.
Dear 20 Megabyters, the Battle of Ranskorav Kolos is, of course, a closely studied examination of the abuse of faith versus the triumph of well-used hope, juxtaposing a terrible mistake by the superhuman Ux arbitrarily adhering to Toothy Tim, with the excellent choice by the very human TARDIS crew to follow the Doctor through experience of her reliability. As such, it revisits the themes of the dangers of the worst of religiosity and the advantages of hope through scrupulously followed empirical science. It also suggests in the end that science wins and that its ethical followers are well fitted to rise above overreaching revenge. It should be noted that while some apparently suggest that this season finale is too low-key and limited, others or perhaps some of the same people have been moaning for years that season finales are too over the top.
Yeah, me too.
We also learned that block transfer computation by incantation was not just the preserve of the logopolitans. But also to this Ux lady and her Padawan. All in all, the Battle of Ranskorav Kolos is a fairly solid story, albeit founded in a slightly outlandish coincidence of our Tim happening to randomly appear in front of some rather credulous pan-dimensional hyper-beings ripe for arbitrarily assigning him theocratic dominance over them. With the reset under a new showrunner, it is encouraging that we have not already reached for universal stakes. This story is perhaps 6.5 minutes too short, as it would have been nice to include a little bit more explanation as to why the Ux fell so completely for Tim Shaw's toothy grin. Next up was Doctor Who and the Dalek Invasion of Earth 864, or Scrapyard Challenge of the Daleks. Those were my thoughts, Alan T. Butcher.
Well, you got through it, Debbie. Yeah, but you didn't do
as usual.
20.
That was shorter than usual.
That's what she said. Right, let's see if we've got anything else. I don't think we have, actually. I think we've actually covered... Oh, we've got something coming through on a thread. No, we haven't. So, yes, we've...
Kirby sent him.
Oh, and yeah, he's slipped away for a bit. Right, we can talk about him. Just make sure we've got no more emails before I commit myself. Yeah, I did get an email, but I'm not reading it out. It's a very secret email, so we'll keep that. That's not feedback, just an email in relation to the show, which I'm keeping secret. Because... I wasn't going to make a big fuss over this, but next week it's our 400th episode. So I'm not going to make too much of a fuss over it, because every time I make a fuss of it, everything goes a bit flat. But yes, it is indeed. Oh, sorry. It is our 400 episodes. And the only person who's done all 400 episodes is me.
You.
Yeah, you.
I wonder why that is. Although there was an attempt in the early days that Reese and Kirby and I think Ben hijacked the show, but which I then encapsulated within the show itself. So I basically did the show and dropped their attempt at hijacking the show into the show itself. But you have to go back and listen to the earlier episodes to hear that one. Right then, is Kirby back yet?
No.
That's very inconsiderate of him, because that means I'm going to have to divert now to news. That's Doctor Who news, and I think that's very unlikely there's going to be much, but we'll have to have a look. I can't find my button. Let's see if that works. Doctor Who news. Ooh. War Master battles Eighth Doctor for big finish. Ooh. Ooh, cool.
That's intriguing.
Yes, there's a picture of Sir Derek Jacobi with friend of the show. Mayor, I can call him friend of the show now. Paul McGann. That probably sounds quite good, actually. It says, in a climactic audio battle, the Eighth Doctor, Paul McGann, takes on the War Master, Derek Jacobi, in The War Master, Rage of the Time Lords, coming out in July. Woohoo! I'll probably forget about it and won't get it, but it certainly sounds like a listenable story. I don't remember a friend of the show, Paul McGann, mentioning that when I spoke to him a few months ago. Maybe he wasn't allowed to. Whotopia issue 33 is a later edition of the fan magazine, is available now. Don't know where you get that from. Doesn't actually say. W. Morgan Shepherd has passed away. Isn't that the father of Mark Shepherd? It is.
Yes, it is.
Well-known actor. Mark Shepherd, of course, was in that Doctor Who story where.
He played the older version of himself.
Did he?
Yeah, his dad played the older version.
Oh, I didn't know that. So,
right, so he was Debbie? The doctor.
Well done, yeah. So, yeah, sad news there. Cosmic Mask issue 7 is the latest edition of a download from the Doctor Who Appreciation Society. Love these old-fashioned retro names for Doctor Who clubs, the fan clubs. I used to be a member of the Star Trek Action Group back in the 1970s. That was a great... I don't know if the Star Trek Action Group's still going, but I had a little yellow card with the Enterprise on it and my number written in pen. New high-quality audio record. We've done that bit. So that's it. We've caught up on... That's all the news we've had this week, because we talked about that last week. And is Kirby back yet? Can't believe I'm actually worried about Kirby not being here. Did he say why he was slipping away?
No.
He just said he's stepping away.
For a few minutes. A bit too long. I don't want to have to do an edit.
What do you think I stepped away for?
He's back to go to the toilet, I expect. I'm glad you're back, because otherwise I wouldn't have known where to go with the story, with the episode, sorry. Anyway.
What did I miss?
Nothing interesting. Well, it was interesting.
Who knew? Missed Doctor Who news. Yes.
Yes, we'll have to listen to the episode to hear about what it was. Okay, it's now time for this week's edition of You Won't Get This One. Yes, I've given up writing questions from episodes we're watching because I simply haven't got the time, and Debbie Melrose can't be bothered. So we're going to resort...
What?
We're going to resort to these. These are Triple Bazoot cards. You might even get questions...
I thought we were going to talk about something else before doing this.
Like what?
400?
No. This is 399. 400 is next week, Debbie. We'll be talking about 400. This will give you a little bit of a heads up, actually. Next week, we're not going to be reviewing... Yes, we are. Sorry, we are going to review. Yes, you have to watch the episode. You've had about 8 weeks to watch, which is The Invasion of Time. Watch it. Six parts. If you haven't watched it already, you're all going to get points deducted for next week's show. But this is not what we're actually doing a quiz at the moment.
This is also a repeat for us. No, it's not.
Be quiet, Kirby. Anyway. So, with a quiz in mind and the Trivial Pursuit questions in mind, we're going to go with down the usual steps of... Mary, who do you think is going to be winning the quiz?
Kirby.
Are you called Mary? Point deducted for Debbie. minus one. Yeah, right then. So, Mary, who do you think is going to be winning the quiz?
I'll say Debbie.
She does that laugh, doesn't she? And then she wins. Yeah. Sorry, yeah. I can't get to my keyboard. Right, Debbie, who do you think's going to be winning?
Kirby.
Okay.
I'm rubbish at the Trivial Pursuit ones.
Kirby, who do you think's going to be winning?
Debbie.
Okay, right then. So, Mary, who do you think's going to be last?
Me.
Okay. Debbie, who do you think's going to be last?
Me.
And Kirby, who do you think is going to be last?
Mary.
Okay.
Did we do the sponsors yet?
What?
Did we do the sponsors yet?
No, we're not at that point of the show.
Okay, fine.
I need to send them some invoices, actually, though you've got to mention it.
There's a cat in front of the microphone. Not my fault. I didn't put her there.
I don't even care if there's a cat in front of the microphone. Okay, right. First question goes to Mary. And it is this... What was the name of the street in London that housed the scrapyard that the first Doctor lived in?
I know.
Oh, I should know that one.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Mm-hmm. I can't remember it, though, so I'll pass.
Okay. Kirby?
Totter's Lane.
And if it tried to deduct a point for the sarcastic answer, the way he answered that. Unbelievable. Okay, yes, right then. Debbie.
Yes?
What was the name of the first Doctor's granddaughter, oh dear?
Oh, my God.
Okay.
Play your Joker.
Play your Joker.
Susan. Didn't play Joker, but never mind. Yes, it was indeed.
I did. I said I'm going to play my Joker, Susan.
Oh, you did say that. Sorry, I didn't hear that because Kirby was talking over it.
My God.
Got one right. Kirby.
Master.
Right then. Mary.
Oh, wait.
Kirby, complete...
Did I play my Joker?
Do you want to play your Joker before I ask the question? Do you?
I don't know.
You either know or you don't know if you want to play it before or after the question.
Adam, come on.
Right.
Let me think.
Complete the story title. The Celestial...
Oh, my gosh.
Oh, wow.
Joker.
Yeah?
The Celestial Joker.
is the correct
I thought it's Celestial Home Care Omnibus.
It was just what he said the correct answer first. Right, there's 1 point in the bonus pot for this question. What new area of the TARDIS was introduced in 1976? There's multiple choice.
I think I know.
You get an extra point if you do it without the multiple choice.
I've got a guess, but Kirby said...
I'd say it's the secondary console room, the Woodwind.
Yes!
Secondary console room was always required. Okay. An extra point for answering it before without the multiple choices, yes. Do you want to know what the multiple choices were? Secondary control room, swimming pool, library, escape pod station. I don't know. The TARDIS got an escape pod station. Interesting question. Okay, right. Mary.
Yes.
What is the name of the Daleks' home planet?
Oh!
Like your Joker.
Yeah.
Starro.
Yeah. Can't believe you actually all played your Jokers so early in the game. Amazing. All right. Debbie.
Yeah?
Which 1980s girl band released a single called I'm Gonna Spend My Christmas with a Dalek? Now, this is multiple choice, but if you want to answer it without the multiple choice...
I have no clue.
Here's the multiple choice bit then. The Go-Go's, Fuzzbox, Bananarama, or the Bangles?
I know.
The Go-Go's. Oh, my God.
It
didn't sound like...
Hang on, a dog wants to come in. Bear with. Come on, Magic. Nika, come on. Quick.
Magic.
Go. Magic.
I don't know what's wrong with this cat. She's just all over me.
Probably smell of cat. Right then, so no points in the bonus pot. Moving back to Mary. What was the name of the Prime Minister in The Sound of Drums who was actually the Master in disguise?
Oh my goodness.
Saxon.
I'll give you that, even though it does say Harold Saxon on the card, but Saxon's Harold good Saxon. Enough for me. Debbie.
Yes?
What type of alien were green, spiky-headed friends Rossiter and Adams?
Oh, my God.
There is a multiple choice.
Oh, my God. No, I'll go multiple choice.
Multiple choice, then. The choices are Adams, Sycorax, Adipose, Vinvoce, Slitheen.
Vinvoce.
Wow, what do you know? Correct.
I mean, no, because of the multiple choice.
I don't know how to do these questions. I'm rubbish at Doctor Who trivia. Right then, Kirby.
Master.
What kids' TV show does the Master watch when he is imprisoned in the Sea Devils?
It's the one where they with the slide whistles that I.
Yeah, that's not going to be on the card, is it?
I'm not that familiar with. Let Debbie answer it.
Nobody said I know yet, but go on, and who knows? Anybody want to come in with an answer?
What was the question?
Oh, fuck it. You should have been listening.
Yeah. Right.
What kids' TV show does the Master watch when he is imprisoned in the Sea Devils?
Was it Clangers?
Pretended she didn't know when she knew full well.
I have to be honest, I wasn't listening. I was trying to get the...
Very naughty girl.
Am I correct? And that's the one where they use the slide whistle?
Yes, it was the one. Anyway, bonus pot question. Yeah. 1 point in the bonus pot. In 1888, Madame Vastra found and ate a famous killer before contacting the police and letting them take the credit. Who was he?
Jack the Ripper.
Yum, 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 yum.
Yeah. Well deserved, has to be said. Okay. Mary.
Yes?
What planet do the Ice Warriors call home?
Mars.
Ooh, I missed my bell. There we go. This is a bell supplied, I believe, by Laurie Nix. So thank you, Laurie. Okay, next question goes to Debbie.
Yes.
Ian Glenn portrayed Father Octavian in Flesh and Stone, but what HBO fantasy drama series does he star in as Jorah Mormont?
Game of Thrones. One of my other passions.
You and your passions.
I think Game of Thrones could be the answer to just about any actor's name.
Yes.
Out there.
Casualty. See if anybody's saying anything. Ooh. We got stuff coming through on the thread before we move on to the next load of questionnaires. Laurie Nick says 400 perfect for the fourth Doctor. Patty Tiller says the writing this series has been consistent, a consistent letdown and consistently weak, which is very sad given the attention to production value overall. It concerns me that the writers of the writers' room could not collectively come up with an idea for a Christmas episode, could not create a plot for more than 10 episodes this season. Some would say they didn't have plots for 10, and now must take a year off to write more. This is particularly true given some of the episodes here relied heavily on episodes of past seasons. I would like to say I am awaiting anxiously for 2020, but perhaps waiting worriedly would be more apt. Sorry, that's my writing. I had the cursor over half of the text. I am waiting for a doctor, then acts more characteristically as the doctor. This has nothing to do with gender or even the performance, but again, the writing and lack of development of the character on the page. Sorry about the way I read that. That was pretty...
Bless you.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Though, all over my ear. But thank you anyway. Matthew Kressler has actually joined the thread.
Adam.
Yes, yes.
I have a question.
You do?
That I forgot to ask last week.
Oh, dear.
After watching Resolution, how is speed determined in the UK? Is it by kilometers or by miles?
Miles.
Okay. Because when the policeman stops, the midwife character.
Yes.
He tells her how many miles per hour over the speed limit she's going. And I always thought in England things were in kilometres.
No. Miles. Okay. On the road it's miles. Might be kilometres in athletics and metres in athletics, but on the road it's miles.
I also noticed what they showed a close-up of the speedometer and it was miles.
Yes.
Yeah, it was miles, yeah. So I didn't know if that was just something for the American audiences or if they actually do miles in England.
Apparently, Matthew Kressler has joined. He could have said a few things, couldn't he? And Laurie Nick says, "Oh, Kirby, how could you forget?"
Because I'm not that familiar with the names of kids' TV series from whenever that was.
He's just lulling the rest of the team into a sense of false security. Oh. Right, so we're back to the quiz then.
British TV series.
I do believe it's Kirby's question. Oh, no, sorry. We're back to. Hang on. Kirby's had his question. Where did I get up to? I've lost the plot. Who answered Game of Thrones the last thing? It was Debbie, wasn't it? It's Kirby's question. Yeah. Kirby.
Who? You. Master.
Which two doctors featured in the story of the two doctors? Oh, for God's sake, forget that. Ridiculous. Right, moving on.
Let's see, two and six.
Mary.
Master.
Yeah.
Something dealing with the fact 400, the four again.
No, God.
You realize we're just starting our fourth year of the journey.
Yes. If I'd known it was going to go on this long, wouldn't have bothered doing it. Yes.
Why? I love it.
It is fun, but I've done it about four times in my life. I mean, so I've spent four times of my life going through every single episode of Doctor Who.
The rest of us have never done it.
And there's lots of listeners who have never done it. In fact, most of you have missed out episodes where you've missed the show. So I'm the only one, again, that's actually watched every single episode again. Right, moving on.
There's only one story I have not watched of all of those.
Yes.
And I have to go back and watch The Wheel in Space.
You're a very naughty man.
There is of it.
Very naughty man indeed. Right, next question. That's Mary. When the Fourth Doctor dropped Sarah Jane Smith off in what he told her was Croydon, what city was she actually in? There's a, it is multiple choice, Mary, but you might want to get an extra point.
I know.
I don't know, so I would need to hear the multiple choice.
It's Aberdeen, York, Slough, or Truro.
Go on,
Mary. Aberdeen.
Yeah!
Thank you.
Is the correct answer, right? Very close, this quiz, actually. You moaned about these Trivial Pursuit questions. They're actually not as difficult as you thought, are they? Debbie.
As usual, shall we say.
Debbie.
Yeah, they probably picked the easy ones.
Complete the story title.
Oh, God.
Blank of Ghosts.
What?
Blank now of Ghosts.
City?
Oh, in that case, we're going to play this. And I can put one of those there, and Kirby's going to come up with the answer.
Army.
Oh, God.
And he says it as if you're an absolute idiot. He knows why he said that. Army, you idiot. All right, Kirby.
I am. It was obvious.
In which year did the Fifth Doctor meet the Silurians in a story where humanity was involved in a Cold War? Is it multiple choice? It is multiple choice.
Okay, give me the multiple choice.
Okay, 2084, 2085, 2013, 3000.
What?
Do I have to say it again? Right.
The
question was, which year did the Fifth Doctor meet the Silurians in a story where humanity was involved in a Cold War? 2084, 2085, 2013, 3000.
I don't know.
You don't know, right. Even though you could have had a pop at it, because there was four answers there. Okay, you decide, no, you can't now. No, you've missed it now. Right. Anybody want to have a pop?
2013.
Is the incorrect answer. So it's 2-3. No, the answer was 2084.
I had a pop. There you go.
Yeah, very good.
What
pop.
Is the story?
It's, we haven't come to it yet. I think it's the Warriors of the Deep, I think it's called. It did say the Fifth Doctor. The clue was in the Fifth Doctor because it's a Fifth Doctor story.
See, that explains it because I have not seen that one.
Right then. Next question goes to Mary as we come to the end.
That's the reason for the going through the journey.
Yes. Mary?
Yes?
Oh, hang on. So, no, it's not. Beg your pardon. It's bonus pot. 3 points in the bonus pot for this question. What villain do the robot Yeti face by the Second Doctor serve? What villain do the robot Yeti faced by the Second Doctor serve?
I know.
Hang on, Debbie said first, which came in ahead of your I know. I didn't say no. But do you know?
I think I do, but I'm not sure I'm going to be right, so let him have it.
Go on then, Kirby.
Great intelligence.
Oh, I was right. There you go.
Oh, yeah.
That was a bit silly, Debbie, wasn't it? You had an opportunity.
Give it to her.
No, don't give it to me.
You are daft.
He's trying to mess with the figure.
He is. But fortunately, the Kirby's pedanticness helps the quiz work. And if you had a normal person that wasn't pedantic, the quiz simply would not work. Right then, one way around of questionings left. We're going to go with Mary for this question. Notice I've kept the scores a secret. Because otherwise you cheat. Right then, Mary. Richard Wilson starred in the Ninth Doctor adventure Empty Child, but what grumpy character was he famous for playing? It is multiple choice, but you can get 3 points if you do it without the multiple choice.
Well, since I don't watch British TV, I probably wouldn't know, so give me the multiple choice.
Okay, here are the options, and everybody shut up, otherwise there'll be points deducted. Here are the options. Basil Fawlty, Edmund Blackadder, Victor Meldrew, and Bishop Brennan.
I don't know, Bishop, whatever the Bishop is.
Okay, so therefore...
Okay,
anybody know?
It would be the last one.
No, I want the answer. You can't just put down the last one.
Well, name the...
No, I'm not reading it again.
Give me the list again.
No.
Because it was obviously not the first two. Not
the last one. The last one, Kirby, was the bishop, which is what I guessed.
Oh, wait, I'm sorry.
Does anybody want to have a go?
One, not the first two.
What? No, I'm not giving you that one. There's nobody come up with the answer. It was Victor Meldrew was the answer to the question.
Yes.
Yes, well, but you see, didn't say it. The idea is to say, not the last one. grief.
Okay. Whatever.
Whatever.
Yes,
indeed.
His first answer was the last one. Which
was it was the third one on the list, not the last one. Okay. Right then, so second question goes to Debbie, or nearly the last question.
Yes.
Good grief. You won't get this one. That means you get double points if you get it right. How many times did the 9th and 10th Doctor visit Cardiff?
Oh, my God. Together?
I mean together. No.
No, I mean all together. Oh, my God, I don't know. Six.
Nope. Anybody?
Nine.
Nope. I'm not going to press the thing again. It was three.
Oh.
Nine.
I thought it was so
right. Kirby.
Master.
Actually, I had small points in the bonus score because I doubled it up because you didn't get it right. Kirby, right, this is the last standard question of the quiz, and it's this. What did Riversong destroy with an Alpha Mason gun in the National Museum? You have
I
to
know.
Be as it says it on the card, Kirby. Kirby, hello.
I don't remember.
Debbie, do you know?
I think is it the Doctor's Fez?
Oh yeah.
You lot of rubbish. Nope. I should have said you won't get this one on that one, but I thought it was quite easy. The answer was a stone Dalek.
Oh.
Oh.
Right. Oh.
And again, I'm not giving away the scores at this point because there's 8 points in the bonus pot and there's one question left. And this is the one question left. Which famous psychic complained that he was out of a job now that the ghosts were everywhere in Army of Ghosts? So which famous psychic said that? 8 points. God, you lot of rubbish on here.
Derek Acora. Yeah!
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yay!
I don't know what Kevin's going yay for, but there we go. I think I know exactly why he's going yay. Deb fell right into the trap there, didn't she? Okay,
except
right.
I don't know who that psychic is.
Okay,
so I don't know either. He certainly isn't famous.
These are the
to
scores
me.
as we are at the moment. In last place with 10 points, Mary. Second place with 14 points, Kirby. And in first place with 18 points, it's Debbie. Right. Mary predicted Debbie to be in the lead and herself to be at the bottom.
Well done, Mary.
Debbie predicted Kirby to be in the lead and herself to be at the bottom. And Kirby predicted Debbie to be in the lead and Mary to be at the bottom. So, yes.
Well done, guys.
So the final scores in this week's edition, returning edition, if you won't get this one, is in last place with 18 points. Debbie in second place with 40 points. Mary and the winner this week with 56 points. It's Kirby. Right then,
Master?
Kirby. Yes.
Master? Before Debbie answered that last question, who was ahead?
Debbie. Oh, hang on. No, you were.
So Debbie, you should have not answered and you would have won.
Fair enough.
Yes, I did say that she fell right into that one. Well, I thought you were the most pedantic person.
The thing is that if I had known, I would have answered.
No, you would. Anyway, Kirby, you were saying before you tried to interrupt the quiz because you said that we needed to talk about something. Oh yes, it's our 400th episode next week. 400 episodes.
Oh my goodness,
what on earth was I thinking of? basically, we are going to do a review of Invasion of the Invasion of Time. Yes, to a certain degree, it's not going to be as in depth as we normally do because we have to talk about podcast related things because we have to talk about us for once. It does happen every now and again, every 100 episodes. Funny enough, we talk a bit about us. I do feel a bit sort of obliged to do something slightly different for a milestone episode, even though it turns out being that we've done this many episodes, get lots of other podcasts messaging us saying how wonderful we are and congratulations, but because this is what happened on other shows, I've listened to other podcasts until recently, and every time they hit these milestones, they have to do an episode on feedback saying how wonderful they are, they managed to reach that milestone. Not a lot of episodes, podcasts have reached 400. There's only Staggering Stories and that one in America. What's that one called? Should remember its name. Radio Scaro. Radio Free Scaro, is it?
That's really not in America. That's a Canadian podcast.
You pedantic. So, right, point deducted. No, 5 points deducted.
And also I would say that Tim Drury's podcast is up in the 300s.
There's not a lot of it. It's basically the ones that were around, apart from the WhoCast, which has only just come back and is lagging behind. There's not a lot of us that have done over 400 episodes. So, but all that lot would have got all sorts of people saying well done and stuff. So, yeah, I do thank the people that support the show and do that. So thank you every very much. And the ones that are very quiet, you know, fair enough. At least you listen or watch or whatever. It's great. But, yeah, it's just sort of, yeah. What have I done wrong to not get people sort of messaging in saying well done for your milestone episode? So that's why I was going to just say, introduce it as episode 400. Let's get on with it as normal. But I feel obliged to do nothing, not too celebratory. Like
we
did
should
on
we should celebrate it. It doesn't matter if anybody else.
There is a slight thing, Debbie. I have been given permission from the powers that be that you are allowed to come around the house on Sunday for the big 400. I don't know if I've got a wide enough angle camera to fit us both in, but it might be possible to do. But yeah, apart from that, and that's good. I suppose, should we do sponsors? I need to send them an invoice. It's the new year. What did you say?
Would be a good idea to do sponsors, yeah.
Okay. Well, who won?
Is that whowon.co.uk?
Have sponsored us for over 390 episodes. Doctor Who Magazine 534 is out. It's got Tom Baker on the cover. Doctor Who Magazine 51 2019 yearbook is out, and that's got Jodie Whittaker on the cover. And number 533 is also available to buy. So I've always said this, and it's a bit like turning into a catchphrase now. Anybody that's out of Great Britain wants to get Doctor Who Magazine quicker, get it through Who Won. And there's a load of stuff available on pre-order, including Maureen O'Brien's Return to Doctor Who in Crash of the UK, which is a big Finnish audio, and Devil in the Mist, which looks like an audio book, Hunting Ground, which another looks like an audio book, Muse of Fire. I do forget to mention that the thing that they call Doctor Who specialists, Who Won, but they are Doctor Who book specialists specifically. So if you like your reading and you want to get a Doctor Who book that might be difficult to find, just go to Who Won first and you'll probably find it. Right, let's go to good old Lavazzi. Keep an eye on Lavazzi. If you go to them, and I think you can subscribe to their newsletter, you often get really good money off vouchers and codes and stuff. So, and that way you can, when you want to get your Fourth Doctor's scarf, you can get some money off it. And if you like Star Trek, there's some Star Trek items as well. Not many now. I think they've all virtually sold out. But, for instance, the Fourth Doctor Series 18 long scarf is $69.99. Now, I got mine, or one of mine, for $49.99 because it was an offer at the time. So keep your eyes open. But the Season 18 Burgundy... That's not Season 18, is it? Oh, it is, yeah. The season. I was talking about the season 16 to 17 scarf, and then I'm talking about the season 18 burgundy scarf, which I've also got, which is lovely. But that's only $24.99. And you can also get shorter versions of the scarf. There's another Don Baker long scarf at $49.99. People, if you go to a con wearing one of these scarves, it always impresses somebody.
Yes, it does.
So they're well worth getting, at least to get some attention. If you don't want to get attention from other Doctor Who fans, don't get one, but I would advise you to get one. That's stavazi.co.uk. Right then, everybody.
I have one.
Huh?
I have one.
Yes, you do. So, like I say, I would appreciate some conflab for our 400th show. If you can't be bothered to do it, then fair enough. But I would appreciate it if we could get some people writing. At least it gives us something to talk about on the show, other than Invasion of Time. That is going to be what?
Master?
What?
Who was it who said we had not done the Invasion of Time?
You did.
I thought I said that we had, and someone contradicted me.
No, I said we hadn't, because you said we hadn't last time we talked about it.
Well, we did for episode number 90.
Oh, okay.
Reese and Robert and Ben.
Okay. Anybody notice that the gum sat behind me there? That's really lovely. Anyway, so thank you for listening, watching, and putting up with the technical difficulties that we've had to endure during this show. And I do hope you come back for our 400th. That's next week, this time next week, 7 p.m. Maybe a little bit earlier, so everybody's in, everything's set up. Might go a little bit earlier, but certainly should be up and running by 7 p.m. Or maybe have an official start at 7 p.m, but just to sort of get everybody together slightly earlier. And then get it going properly at 7, possibly. I don't know. So just keep your ears open.
I'm always sitting here about quarter till.
Yes, well, good. Well, if everybody's sitting there about quarter to, then we might be able to get going a bit earlier, because I will have to set up a bit earlier next week. So, with that in mind, thank you for listening to the show. See you again next time. Goodbye.
Goodbye, fancy fans.
Bye.
The 20 Megabyte Doctor Who podcast is an APV Services production, sponsored by whoone.co.uk and lavazi.co.uk. We are a proud member of the Doctor Who Podcast Alliance. Doctor Who is a trademark of the British Broadcasting Corporation, no copyright infringement intended.